Great. Well, our speaker today, Suzanne D, will now share her experience on. Suzanne, what are you sharing on today?
Kind of pages 60 to 63, my relationships, since okay. This is an Al-Anon focus.
Okay, so my relationship, page 60 through 63, will be the topic. And she's going to share her experience for 15 minutes, and we'll be recording, and it'll be available later for others to listen if you'd like. All right, Suzanne, take it away.
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody, or evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Suzanne D. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am so grateful to be here because my life has been changed dramatically. I've been in and out of the program of Overeaters Anonymous since the early 80s, but I kept leaving and I'd do well and I'd leave, I'd do well, I'd leave. You know, I'd drop 100 pounds, then gain 100 pounds and drop 60 and gain 50 and then drop 100 and then, you know, just so forth. But that's my core disease was the sugar addiction. And it didn't matter what the consequences were to my behavior. I couldn't stop the behavior, meaning going to the doctor and having him tell that my diabetes was way out of control didn't make a difference. I'd go and binge after. And because as much counseling as he'd do and tell me not to do a certain thing, I couldn't stop. Same way with going to the dentist. The dentist would say, you're rotting your teeth. You have need all this dental work. It wouldn't matter. I couldn't stop the behavior. And see, that's what really makes me the real deal in terms of compulsive overeater, is this utter inability to stop no matter what the consequences are. And believe me, I've had a lot of health consequences to my years. But what I really want to talk about is step one. Step one, that the part I accepted the fact that I was a compulsive overeater, that my and things. But that second part of step one, where it talks about the unmanageability of my life. At first, I just didn't get it. What do you mean my life's unmanageable? I run things quite well, thank you. I'm successful at my career. I have friends, I have family. You know, I just didn't get it. If people would just listen to me and do things my way. but when my sponsor had me take a look at page 52 of the big book that really describes the unmanageability in my life, then I got it. And that's when it was talking about how, the bedevilments, that I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living worth living, felt useless, felt full of fear, was unhappy. Just all these things, my trouble with personal relationships. Then I got it. I got that not only was I powerless over food, but that my relationships also were out of whack. And I was looking at some of the key concepts of Al-Anon focused. To me, that means relationship. And it doesn't matter if it's Al-Anon or you're an alcoholic or compulsive overeater. It's all basically the same thing. Because when I read some of the examples that was posted in our on the website, it talked about, what are my symptoms? Knowing what is right for everyone else all the time. Fixing other people, doing for them what they can't do for themselves. Manipulating others to get what you want. Trying to control something or someone to get the outcome you desire. Attempting to make everything right. obsessing, projecting, wallowing in self-pity, being a martyr, being critical of others, not saying no when you should. You know, and I think about this, and the underlying part of the whole thing is me wanting to control and me having fear. Because fear is what drives some of this selfish thinking, and that selfish thinking then creates this behavior. And I just think about how much in my life I didn't act or confront on things out of fear. And so therefore I played the martyr, and all the while I was being critical of other people. Because page 60 to 63 really talks about the manipulation, the needing to control. And I would use it as, you know, manipulating and controlling someone else for their own good. Oh, and each time that I would do some of this behavior of trying to get people to do what I wanted them to do, and it didn't work out so well. The part of the big book talks about stepping on the toes.
Suzanne, I think your connection became unstable. Well, if you can hear me.
You know what? No one wants to be told.
Sorry, Suzanne, your connection came unstable. If you want to, or you might try to take your video off and just talk.
Okay.
Well, you're better. Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I don't know why it's not working, but did you hear some of it?
Yeah, we heard quite a bit of it. We just lost maybe the last couple sentences.
Oh, okay. So many times when I would be trying to control other people, it was for their own good, I thought. And when you step on the toes of others, they retaliate because no one wants to be told what to do. And then I would do this, and then I would bow. Things are going to be different. This time I will get a different outcome. I'll get the outcome I want. They'll listen to me this time. And I would do the same thing with food. Because with food, I would say and think I was going to eat just a little bit of this certain item. But once I started to eat that sweet, all hell broke loose. And I could not stop, no matter how much I wanted to. So whether it was food that I did this with or my behavior with other people, it was all the same. It was this unmanageability of having good intentions, but basically lying to myself that I thought I could handle it. And I like in the book where it says, being convinced that my life run on self-will can hardly be a success. You know, I'm always in collusion with something or somebody, even though my motives are good. I try to live by self-propulsion. I'm like the actor who wants to run the show, the whole show, and forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in my own way. If my arrangements would only stay put, if people would only do as I would wish, the show would be great. Everybody, including myself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. And it goes on to talk about how I thought that I knew what was best. And I think one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up so much is because when I did my fourth step, this was an eye-opening experience for me. I had never seen myself as a controlling person. I really didn't. When I would give advice to people, I just saw it as I'm trying to be helpful. And I really honestly believe that I knew what was best for them. Now, mind you, I looked in the mirror. I saw this woman at 275 pounds, you know, morbidly obese. I saw my history of depression, misery, the fact that I stayed in my house and wouldn't answer the phone, isolated, just spent the day eating and watching television or playing on the computer all day. I looked at that person and somehow I thought she knew what was best for everybody else and herself. And so by working the steps, I get to see some of that warped thought process and see that me trying to run the show just doesn't work. It doesn't work. But I had to come to that realization in the first step that I was powerless over food, that my life was unmanageable. And if that was to be, then I better find some other way out, because otherwise it's a hopeless cause. And I truly felt hopeless when I came back to program, because I had left and then I got into BBA right away. This was 3 years ago. And when I started working the steps and I got to step two, and I came to, it said I came to believe that there was a power greater than myself. I didn't immediately believe, but I came to believe that maybe my life run on self-will wasn't going to work so well. And that maybe there was a God out there that not only cared about every little piece of food that I put in my mouth, but also cared about all my relationships with people. And that God, if I was willing to turn things over to him, that not only would my food be better, but all my relationships would be better. I no longer had to run the show anymore. And it was just, it was amazing doing my step four, because I got to see how much my fear is what drove all of my resentments. Thank you. I see that. Because my resentment so much revolved around you not doing what I wanted you to do. And what I find is that now that I'm not trying to run the show so much, that things are just working so much better, because God's in charge now. What I like in program is to focus on those three parts of the triangle. And for me, the meetings are very, very important. You know, that's the fellowship. And they're really important. And giving the other part of the triangle is giving service. Oh my goodness, you know, I come from selfishness and self-centeredness. And the thought of just giving to other people, I don't know about that. But I found that through sponsoring and working these steps, that selfishness and self-centeredness went away more and more. And the key foundation of that triangle was working the steps. Going to those other things without working the steps, it doesn't work. That's the biggest foundation. And those steps 4 through 9 were the most powerful steps for me, because they got to see how I reacted in life to various circumstances and what my part was. And it helped me to become less interested in myself, you know, my little plans. It helped me to see and contribute to other people's lives without me controlling their lives. It's also, this program and the 12 steps have really helped me to set limits in my relationships. I have two alcoholic nieces that really play havoc in my life and the lives of our family. But I've gotten better at setting limits and not putting myself in the position to be hurt. See, before I just felt self-pity and, oh, woe is me. And they did this and they did that to me. And meanwhile, I was judging them all the way and I was gossiping and rallying the troops to everybody agree with me. And today, because of working the steps and steps 6 and 7, where, you know, I'm asking God to be relieved of some of this, it has really helped. So I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm very, very grateful. And I hope that I have helped someone today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you so much. Suzanne. Thank you so much, Suzanne. I'm going to stop the recording.